Will you turn to Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Or as one of the young people in my home Sunday school said during a Sunday school pageant one time, Numamamamanini. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 10. Deuteronomy 30:10. If you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in the heaven that you have to ask, who shall ascend into heaven to get it, to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bow before the Lord. Oh Lord, give us hearts not only to hear your word, but to apply them to ourselves, to weigh our own hearts in your scale, and discover the truth of where we stand before you this very day, and then have the courage to do whatever is necessary. Lord, move in our midst today with such grace that your Spirit holds sway over us. In Jesus' name, amen. We began last week in this series for the new year talking about why God wants to renew us. And we talked about all those reasons of why God wants to come back to His people. We have before us a challenge here in Deuteronomy 30 that God is giving to the new generation to walk in obedience with Him, to love Him. He says, I've given you a choice, but don't squander it. Choose life. Choose blessing. Today, I want to continue that by talking about when it is that we need renewal. When is it that you or I need renewal? And I want to give you six signposts of the heart. They are six scales on which you can measure your heart and see if you or I need renewal. 6 markers that I can place up against. Do you ever remember when your kids were young? Maybe you had a door frame someplace in the back part of the house, and you'd get out a magic marker, and you'd have them stand up and you'd make a mark there, and you'd be able to measure as they've grown. These are markers to mark whether we have grown or shrunk back. And every one of them have to do with the heart, because ultimately it is the heart that is most important. It is the core of who we are, not merely the externals of what we do. Now, before we chase that too far, let us be aware that if our heart is right, what we do is going to be right as well. You cannot have a right heart and wrong behavior, but you can have right behavior and still have a wrong heart. So you need to measure, and I need to measure our hearts. Let's look at 6 measures of the heart. The first one is stated so plainly here in Deuteronomy 30. He says in verse 16, beginning at 15, I've set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God. And you know, that's the one thing God desires, is for us to love Him. Notice in verse 19, He says, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. God's primary calling on your life and my life is to love Him. And so the very first measure of my heart, do I need renewal, is do I love the Lord my God with all my strength, all my heart? Now, no one ever does that. Let us be utterly honest and say there's not a person on earth that loves God with all that's within them. But let me ask you, how close to that are you coming? And let me talk specifically, when we talk about love, about what Jesus says to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2 about what He calls first love, Revelation 2:4. Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, you've lost your first love. What is the kind of love that God is looking for? Now, first love, let's define first love. First love is not mature love. For those who have been married for a while, if you remember when you first met your beloved, it was not mature love. It was not stable love. It's amazing, and I love hanging around with teenagers, but boy, I'll tell you, teenagers can drive you batty. Not just your own. Your own are the worst. But because when they go, they fall in love. No one has ever loved like this before. You don't know what I'm talking about. Don't you love it when your kids say, you don't know how I feel. Yeah, like I was never a teenager. But there is this questing, longing, passionate love. And I want to say there are 3 words that mark first love. First of all, it is passionate. How passionate are you about God today? Is there a fire in your belly about God today? Can you keep yourself from talking about Him? It's like when grandparents have their first grandchild. Oh, God help us. Never ask a grandparent how the first grandchild's doing. Not unless you got about 6 hours. You can always tell a person that's made that mistake, they're like glassy-eyed. I mean, they've got pictures. This is the baby throwing up. It's passionate. Second of all, it's longing. It is a longing love. Let me throw out some verses that talk about this idea of longing. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the kind of love that we should have for God. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "Meanwhile, we groan." Longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Do you long to be clothed with your heavenly dwelling? Oh, I just want to be where Jesus is there all the time. 2 Corinthians 7:11. Gives the list of the marks of true repentance that say, "See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing." You long to be with God? Or have you lost that? Well, you know, I love God, I'm committed to God, and but I don't have that longing. Or 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8, where Paul says that laid up for him is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge will give to all who have longed for His appearance. I just can't wait for Jesus to come. Just can't wait. Let me ask you, can you go through the day without thinking about the coming of Christ? Can you make it through a day without just kind of going, "Ooh, today could be the day"? If so, then your heart has lost that first love. Or Hebrews 11:16, where it says that those who declare such things show that they are longing for a heavenly country. Just can't wait to be with Jesus. Can't wait. First love is a longing love. Have I lost my first love? Have I lost my longing? Let me give you one more word. Passionate. First love is passionate love. It's longing love. Let me give you one more word. It's hungry love. Am I hungry? Do I have a love that hungers after God? Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. A first love is a hungry love. Am I hungry for God? Or am I satisfied? You know, that's one of the banes of long-term relationships. You've been married 15, 20 years. Yeah, you've got a stable love. Yeah, you've got a comfortable love. That longing, that hunger. And when that happens in our relationship with God, we need renewal. We've lost what God calls very important. Number two, we know that we have lost a heart that is right with God when the sweetness of the Word has soured. We know that we have lost our right relationship with God. We need to be renewed when the sweetness of the Word has soured. Look at what the psalmist says. Look at Psalm 19, verse 10. Psalm 19:10. I'm going to begin in the middle of 9, just to give you the noun. The ordinances of the Lord, one of the synonyms that's used for the Word of God. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honey from the comb. Do you have a sweet tooth for the Word? Is the Word sweet in your mouth? Or is the Word sawdust? Oh, Bible study. Oh. If you mark your days by the hours you have to wait to be in the Word of God, then you have a right standing with God. But if you can take it or leave it, mark my words, you've lost the sweetness. Psalm 119:103. The psalmist says this. Longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119:103. Listen to what he says about the Word of God. The psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." Do you cancel appointments to have the opportunity to be in the Word of God? Sorry, can't make it. I got a chance to be in the Word tonight. Now, hey, I haven't seen you in 10 years. That's great, but I got the Word of God tonight. Sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Second mark. Has the sweetness of the Word soured? Number three, do I long to be with other believers? Do I long to be with other believers? Oh, I just can't wait to get with other believers. Let me show you the heart of a man of God in love with God who has that passion, the Apostle Paul. Let me just show you his heart. I'm just going to give you three verses, but it shows his heart. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans 1:11. Here's what Paul says about the believers. Romans 1:11. He says, "I long to see you. I long to see you." Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Philippians 1:8. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, "God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Philippians 1:8. God can testify. I long to be with you. Or look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy, 1 Thessalonians 3:6, has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Do I long to be with other believers? Can I just not wait to be together with God's people? Oh, I just want to be with God's people. The flip side of that, number four. I know that my heart has shrunk away from God when I'm comfortable with this world. When I want to be around unsaved people. When I long for the company of those who are not of Christ. I know I'm wrong with God when I don't have a longing to be with God's people, but I also know when I long to be with the unsaved. If I want to be around unsaved people, mark it down. Mark it down. You are not right with God. Oh, but they're my friends. Mark it down. Oh, but you don't understand. We have this great club, or we have this great organization, or this great... And oh, it's so wonderful. Mark it down. When we long to be together with unsaved people, mark it down. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And if he, God, rescued Lot, a righteous man who was, what's the word? Distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. You see, when I'm right with God, and the fact that Lot is called righteous is a statement in and of itself. But when I'm even as right with God as Lot was, the filthiness of this world distresses me. He goes on, verse 8, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Now let me ask, was the days in which Lot lived any worse than the days that we live today? Were people doing anything then that they aren't doing today? In fact, today they are just announcing it. Now let me ask you, is your soul tormented every day? I was at a gathering a while ago and we were talking and I was just thinking, I have nothing in common with these people. It was like, oh, count the minutes. Mark it down. When I'm comfortable with this world, when this world ceases to torment, to distress me with its filthiness, my heart has moved away from God. My heart has moved away from God, and I need to be renewed. Number five, when I fail at my calling as a priest, when I fail at my calling as a priest, my heart has moved away from God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones. What an image. One of the most important things to happen in the Great Reformation 500 years ago was they recovered for the first time in 1,000 years the truth that every believer is to be a priest. You, like living stones. Not some priest, not pastors. Some priestly class, some guy that wears robes or a funny collar. Not some special group that goes to special training in some special school and walks around going om, om, om all day. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Why? Why does God want a singular spiritual house? Not you as individuals, us together as a single spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. It's one of the reasons if you can shun prayer, if you find it possible to go through a week without attending a prayer meeting, if you can make it through a week without being at a prayer meeting, let me assure you, that your heart has wandered far from God. Because we are to be part of a spiritual house that is a spiritual priesthood. And what's the priesthood do? It goes before God and offers before God, intercedes before God for people that won't or can't. For the unsaved. Who here has no unsaved family? No one in your family is unsaved. Oh, yeah, we're all saved. We're all going to heaven. They cannot intercede before God. They can't go to God for themselves. John chapter 9, verse 31. We know God doesn't listen to sinners. We know that. They can't go to God for themselves. We need to go to God for them. Look at all these young people here. They don't really know what's going on. They can't go to God comprehending what's involved. Who will go to God if you don't go to God for them? Who will pray over these children? How about your neighbors? How many of you have neighbors that don't have spiritually a clue between right and left, up and down, right and wrong? Who's going to intercede for your neighbors? They can't. I believe the reason we're not seeing people saved in this church the way we should be is we're not praying like we should be. We won't intercede. If you can go through a week without being part of the priesthood that holds up and intercedes to God and pleads with God and begs with God to move, if you can go through a week without, no, your heart is moved. Because that's what your calling is, to be spiritual stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That's God's calling on your life. People say, well, I don't know what God wants. Calling is, you know, I don't know if I should take this job or that job. Don't worry about your job. Worry about what God says your calling is. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That's God's calling on our lives. And if you can go through a week without doing that, let me assure you, your heart has definitely moved. Samuel said rightly when he said, God forbid, for 1 Samuel 15, God forbid that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. He said it's a sin not to pray. Number 5, we know we've moved far away from God when we fail at our calling as priests. Number 6, we know that we have moved far away from God when many things when many things occupy our attention. When we're all bound up with many things. In fact, Jesus, look at what Jesus says in Mark. Look at what Jesus says in Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Mark 4, 18. Mark 4, 18. Still others, this is Jesus telling what the parable of the sower means. He says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires, plural, for other things come in and choke the word. When we have a desire for many things, when we have a desire for many things, when our heart is pulled in this direction, in that direction, back, forth, in, out, up, down, who I want this, who I want that, who I want this other. All I want's a quiet night at home. All I want's this thing. All I want's that. I want this. I need that. I have this. Many things. Doesn't say bad things, does it? Doesn't say that it's choked out when we desire evil things. Doesn't use the word evil, does it? Just other things. Now I want you to contrast that with the godly heart. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Here's the godly heart. Psalm 27. If you haven't memorized Psalm 27, verse 4, I would very much recommend that you do that. Psalm 27, verse 4. Now, Psalm 27 is written by David. Did David live a busy life? When he wasn't running for his life and being hunted to death, he was king of a country that was constantly at war. Have you noticed how gray President Bush is today? Have you noticed the change? Have you seen the pictures between when he entered office and where he is today? And yeah, he's 8 years older. David was a king for almost 40 years in a nation that almost every day he was king was at war with someone. Do you think he was busy? He didn't inherit a cabinet. He didn't inherit a mechanism. He had to build the kingship from nothing up to what it became. He had to appoint all the leaders and find judges and put together the whole mechanism. He did what the founding fathers of America did, and there were hundreds of them. He did that as king. Do you think he was busy? Do you think that our lives are any busier? Do you think we have any more urgent matters yelling at us than David had? Anybody here say, yep, David doesn't know what I'm going through? Okay, then let's look at David's heart. Let's look at David's heart. We're measuring our hearts. Psalm 27, 4. One thing. Not five things. Not three things. Not, I ask for my family, and I ask for my friends, and I ask for my job, and I ask for a new house. One thing I ask of the Lord. One thing. Not 1,000 things, not 100 things, not 10 things, not 3 things. One thing. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. One thing. One thing. You say, but we've got to live. You know, there's bills to pay. Anybody here not have any bills? If you don't, I'll give you some of mine. There's bills to pay, aren't there? Well, how am I going to do that if I'm seeking the Lord? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get the house clean? How am I going to go to work? How am I going to get meals? How am I going to? Jesus answered that, Matthew 6:33, when He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all. How many? Altogether, how many?
All
these things. What things? Well, go back to the verses before it. What does it say? The Gentiles worry about what to wear, what to eat, where to live. They worry about their mortgage payments. They worry about new clothes. They worry about how much food there is in the freezer. But seek first the kingdom of God and all those things. The mortgage payment, food, clothing. All those things will be added to you. Somebody was sharing in prayer just this week that they had given a larger gift than normal beyond the tithe. They, in their words, they'd rounded up their tithe. And it was more rounding up than normal. And they said, as they were doing it, going, there's a lot of... And got home and had a phone call that they'd won a thing from the grocery store and got a whole bunch of free stuff from the grocery store. Patrick tells the story from years ago. That he was, when he first got out of Keswick, was having an argument about giving money to the church because they had nothing and they didn't. And he wrote out the tithe and there was arguing in the house over it. And he got home and Jennifer was yelling and screaming and saying, we can't live on nothing. And there's a knock on the door and they open the door and there's like 40 bags of groceries there. With a little note, God put us on your heart to give this, Pastor Phil. He said, well, I guess it pays off, doesn't it? But you see, when many things begin to occupy our time, our hearts have moved. They've just kind of danced right over here and God's way over there and off we are. Now let me ask you, when you measure your heart by these six things, a passionate love for God, I'm just excited about God, I'm longing, I'm hungry. Well, I love God, We've known each other a long time and He loves me and I love Him. And no, not that. I'm talking about hungry, passionate, longing love. Have you lost that? Has that cooled? How about the sweetness of the Word? Oh, do we have to get in the Word? I remember we were at a youth thing and the people were going, we'd been out doing something and we came back in from doing something. Time for Bible study. Oh, we already had one of those. We know we're right with God when it comes time for the Bible study to end and we go, when can we have the next one? Sledding? We can go sledding anytime. When are we going to be back in the Word? Sweetness of the Word, is it soured? Do I long to be with other believers? Do I block that time out when I can be with other believers? Or do I allow other things to come in and cancel that out? Now notice that's a little different than asking, do I come? See, I can go through the motions. I can show up, quote unquote, fellowship with other believers, but I'm just doing it because I got to do it. Because I know I should do it because the Bible says do it. That's a far cry from, I long. Did you hear Paul's words? I long. When I'm comfortable in this world, when the somebody was talking about when they get a little older going to a football game, and I said, why on earth would you want to go to a football game? Do you understand how miserable it is at those football games? Guys that are drinking and carrying on and they're all excited about the football team, but their language is coarse and they're why would you want to be around that? Ooh. Is that how the world rubs you? If not, know you've moved away from God. Your calling as a priest. When you can go days or weeks without being part of that spiritual house called to be the priesthood of God, when many things, number six, occupy your attention, fill your heart, know you've moved. Now let me ask you, do you need to be renewed today? Do you need to be renewed? As you've gone down through that list, have you found at least one or two, maybe all of them? But don't congratulate yourself if you did good on most of them and only had one or two. If you even have one or two of them, then you've moved. You may not have moved very far yet, but you've moved. If you even have one on that list that you can't say wholeheartedly in the power of the Holy Spirit, boy, that's where I'm at, then you've moved. You may not have moved as far as you could, but don't be satisfied with that, because if you're moving, you're moving away, and that's the wrong direction. Today's the day to turn around. Today's the day to begin to seek to be renewed. Now let me just give away, and we're going to be talking next week about how to do that. How am I renewed? And let me just give you one thing that the world doesn't give you today. That's not just come down to the altar, cry a few tears, and now you're back. Hosea says it right, and we'll be looking at this at some length next week. He says it's time to seek the Lord until He's found. I don't know how long it'll take before God renews you. God might have you seek Him for 5 months before you're renewed. It might be all this year that you seek Him before you're renewed. There's no guarantee that if you say today, you know, I need to be renewed, that by tonight, God's going to have met with you. He may not have met with you this month. Because God tests our heart to see if we really want to be renewed. But today, the first step is to recognize I need it. Not they need it. Not someone else needs it. Not my family. Not my friends. Not my neighbors. Not my church. Not I need to be renewed. And if there's any part of this that you couldn't say, oh, thank God I'm not there. Thank you, Lord, that I have that sweetness. Thank you, Lord, I have that longing. Thank you, Lord, I'm not comfortable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can't say that to everyone, then today you need to say, Lord, I need to be renewed, and you need to begin to seek Him. Let's bow together. Lord, thank you that you have given us yardsticks in your word. Lord, it is so easy to be lost in our own self-measure, as you said in Corinthians, to measure ourselves by ourselves and compare ourselves among ourselves, to look around us and say, oh, I'm better than this one, or I'm not as bad as that one, or hey, at least I'm doing. But you've given us a sure yardstick to measure our heart, to hold our heart up to the wall and say, have I shrunk back? Lord, give us the courage to evaluate honestly our heart, and then the courage to begin to seek you in any areas where we need to be renewed. In Jesus' name, amen.